Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 15th, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. We are in verses 11 and 12, the testimony from God. 1 John 5. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. This is the testimony from God. It sounds like this in corrected translation. Verse 11, in fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, is the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life, eternal security. And this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. Deb and I were talking about this passage last week, and she says, you know, Sam Adams, he was head of Young Life at Washington State University, and by the way, Sam played football for the San Francisco 49ers. But he was the head of Young Life at WSU, and she said that this verses 11 and 12 was his favorite passage in the Bible. And whenever he'd give the gospel, he would go to 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Well, Sam Adams had a place in my life too. On the day that I graduated from Washington State University, cap and gown, got my diploma, and coming down the stairs and heading off the field, Sam came up to me and he said, Dick, and he said, Dick, I just wanted to tell you that the 49ers wanted me to tell you after you graduated that they would like to have you turn out for them. And I said, even though I haven't played college football, they said, didn't make any difference at all. They wanted you to know that you could turn out for the 49ers. I said, well, Sam, if you'd have told me this about 3 years ago, that would have been the only thing I was looking at. But God's given me the gift of pastor-teacher, and I'm going to Dallas Theological Seminary and prepare for the ministry. And he says, oh, he says, that's fine. He says, you have a higher calling. And I said, yes, sir. And I'm looking forward to that. And Sam Adams was great. He, when I did the, up to Washington State and did the memorial service for Deb's mom and Deb's dad, he was there. He was there for to hear that memorial service. He was a great guy. 1 John 5:11-12. The testimony from God. And God the Father's testimony gives the whole human race an option. The option number one is to believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life, eternal security, through simply believing in Jesus Christ. Or option number two, to reject the grace gospel and refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, gives the whole world an option. Through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Through rejection of the grace gospel, you absolutely do not have eternal life. And this is God the Father's testimony about His Son. According to the divine testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this gift is bestowed in His Son. Since the gift is bestowed in His Son, its only possessor is the person who possesses the Son, faith in Jesus Christ, because the one who has the Son, faith in Jesus Christ, has eternal life, eternal security. But the one who does not have the Son and rejects the grace gospel does not have eternal life. Jesus Christ, and He alone, is the repository for the gift of eternal life. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, no one possesses eternal life. God is infinite and matchless grace. And in His infinite and matchless grace, He has provided two categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ. He has provided temporal security, and He has provided eternal security. Eternal security is established at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, through the gift of eternal life and the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, where we share the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a double portion of eternal life. I guess you could say we have a double portion of eternal security. The one who believes in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, can never, ever lose his salvation. Temporal security is also established at the moment of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ through the imputation of divine righteousness and the establishment of the grace pipeline. For at the moment you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God, establishing this grace pipeline. It happens instantly at the moment of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And instantly, 40 salvation blessings come down that pipeline. And then from that day right up to today, God sends down that grace pipeline temporal security. Temporal security, logistical grace, blessing and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can have a chance to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. To give you the opportunity to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To give you the opportunity of attaining spiritual maturity. To give you the opportunity of having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That's what temporal security is for. And we all have it. Winners and believers, winner believers, loser believers, all believers. God sends down. Not only for all believers receive God's 40 salvation blessings, all believers, winners and losers, receive temporal security, logistical grace, blessing and support. And if you fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, advance to maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then he sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time. We're not here a very long time. We're here today and gone tomorrow. But he sends down greater grace blessings in time, and then that's time and greater grace blessing for eternity. And those are awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. And they glorify God forever and ever and ever. Now we have God in his infinite and matchless grace has provided two categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Temporal security and eternal security. Eternal security established at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ through the gift of eternal life and the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, sharing the eternal life of Jesus Christ. The one who believes in Christ, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works, can never lose his salvation. And temporal security is also established at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ through the imputation of divine righteousness and the establishment of the grace pipeline. In temporal security, the 40 salvation blessings and the logistical grace, blessing and support keep you alive in the devil's world. And they come to all believers, winners or losers. The believer cannot work for, earn, nor deserve either eternal security nor temporal security. God does all the work in temporal security. God does all the work in eternal security. Now, we have studied the doctrine of eternal security and gone over the doctrinal rationales of eternal security several times in the past, and I refer you to your notes on that regard, the doctrine of eternal security and the rationales of eternal security found in the Word of God. But we haven't gone over in great detail for maybe ever the doctrine of temporal security, God's grace blessings of temporal security. So we need to take a look at that. God's grace blessings of temporal security. One, when you as a believer fail, and that's all of us, the Lord upholds you. He upholds you with his hand. I want you to turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The human author of Psalm 37 is David. And Psalm 37 gives the temporal security that God pours out on those who trust in the Lord. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he, the Lord, delights in his way. And when he falls, the one who trusts in the Lord, the believer, when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. You're in the hand of God. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're in the hand of God. Now, this psalm is the Psalm of David, and David, fortunately you and I, we don't have our failures recorded in the Word of God for all eternity, but David had his recorded. And now, when we get to heaven, you won't have a sin nature, so you're not going to bring up these things. But David failed miserably, committing the sins of adultery, committing the sin of murder, yet David was still alive because of temporal security. Temporal security in the Lord's hand. Temporal security. David was disciplined, and he was disciplined very severely, but he came to his senses. He rebounded. He turned back to God and the Word of God. And the cursing in his life was turned to blessing. He had the Absalom revolution. And Absalom loved Absalom very, very much. Absalom was a believer. He was a reversionistic believer. And Absalom overthrew his own father. David had to leave the palace, leave all of his material blessings, and take off. And Absalom took over the kingship of Israel at that time. David left, and some of his loyal followers and parts of his military left with him, and they were out in the desert, and they had nothing except just the basic things. And he wrote these psalms. He wrote Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, when he was after the Absalom revolution and out in the desert. He wrote Psalm 37. And he rebounded. He got back into fellowship with God. God didn't take him out. God preserved him, protected him, and he brought him back and restored him as king, the greatest king ever in Israel's history. He restored him as king, and when he restored him as king, he provided greater grace blessings than he ever had before. And Absalom, the son that he loved so much, well, he wound up hanging in a tree by his long hair. And he died the sin unto death. He was a reversionist. He died the sin unto death. But David still loved him very, very much. He was his son. He was his reversionistic son. But he continued to love him. And he loved him with virtue love. Because David was a great winner believer. So the cursing in his life was turned to blessing. He was restored as king. and became the greatest king in Israel's history and was given phenomenal greater grace blessings as a winner believer. So again, point one, when you fail, as David did, the Lord upholds you with his hand, Psalm 37, 23 and 24. Two, there are two key components of temporal security. Two key components of temporal security. First of all, the 40 salvation blessings given at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. The 40 salvation blessings given at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. You were given those instantly. Now, you didn't know that. You didn't know that. You don't know what they are. But you, when you find a sound Bible teaching church and start assembling and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you come to know those. And it's phenomenal as you learn about those 40 salvation blessings given to you at the moment of faith in Christ. And secondly, logistical grace, blessing, and support given to all believers, winners and losers alike. So there are two key components of temporal security. The 40 salvation blessings given at the moment of faith in Christ, and logistical grace, blessing, and support given to all believers, winners and losers alike. Three, Christians who fail to live the spiritual life still have the 40 blessings they received at salvation. Christians who fail to live the spiritual life, they still have the 40 blessings they received at salvation. Four, Christians who fail to live the spiritual life still have temporal security. They still have logistical grace, blessing, and support coming to them every single day, every single day, to keep them alive in the middle of the devil's world in hope that they will come to their senses and rebound, get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life, and live the spiritual life. So Christians who fail to live the spiritual life still have temporal security. They still have logistical grace, blessing and support coming to them every single day from that day of salvation right up to today to keep them alive in the middle of the devil's world in hope that they will come to their senses and rebound and live the spiritual life. This means that God will support and sustain you regardless of how deserving or undeserving you are. Point five. Temporal security includes three factors of divine provision. Temporal security includes three factors of divine provision. First, life support. Life support. Secondly, blessing, logistical grace blessing. And third, the divine provision to live the spiritual life. So temporal security includes three factors of divine provision: life support, logistical grace blessing, and divine provision to live the spiritual life. First of all, life support. Life support is provided for every church age believer in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And this explains how and why we are alive every moment. The only reason we are alive is because of temporal security. We do not earn nor deserve it. There is no work we can accomplish to keep ourselves alive. This is temporal security provided by God. That's life support. Secondly, logistical grace blessing. That's provided for every church age believer, both winners and losers alike. The justice of God sends logistical grace blessings, food and shelter and clothing to the indwelling righteousness of God in both winners and losers alike. And this emphasizes God's amazing grace. You are alive only because of the grace of God, not because of anything you do. Winners utilize logistical grace blessing. Loser believers coast on it, but they never utilize it. And then third, divine provision for every church age believer to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And that divine provision includes God has given us the completed canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of His Word. He has given us the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher to communicate the Word of God to us so we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity. He has given us the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And grace perspicacity, what a blessing. He has given us two royal commissions, our royal priesthood to represent ourselves before God, and our royal ambassadorship to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. He has given us the local church, which is the divinely appointed classroom for the church age. There is a divinely appointed classroom for the church age, and that is the local church. He has given us the laws of divine establishment, principles of freedom, privacy, property, authority, and He has given the provisions of human life, both in times of good health and in times of poor health, but the provision of human life. In the function of the policy of grace, there can be no compromise of the divine attributes. And God has found a way. God has found a way to bless each believer without compromising His attributes. All logistical grace, blessing, and support comes down that grace pipeline. From what? From the justice of God to what? To the imputed righteousness of God in the believer. Point six, temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support is imputed to the believer through the grace pipeline. And that grace pipeline can never be destroyed. There's no metal fatigue in this pipeline. Seven, since the source of all temporal security is the justice of God, this means God is infinitely fair in supporting both winners and losers alike. Since the source of all temporal security is the justice of God, this means that God is infinitely fair in supporting winner believers and loser believers alike. Therefore, the grace pipeline excludes all human ability, morality, talent, giving, sacrifice, service, or any legalistic system for divine blessing. The existence of this grace pipeline after salvation means that God is free to bless all believers, winners and losers alike, spiritual or carnal, without compromising His own divine attributes. God found a way to bless us through the divine policy called grace. God cannot accept anything less than perfect righteousness and cannot bless anything less than perfect righteousness. And therefore, God sends His grace blessings down the grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness, all life support and blessing to both winner and loser comes the same way. This means that in temporal security, logistical grace, the justice of God is the source of all divine support and blessing, and the righteousness of God is the recipient of that divine support and blessing. Point 8, the testimonies of temporal security. The testimonies of temporal security. First of all, one, the anthropomorphic testimony. The anthropomorphic testimony is found in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy 33, 27, which says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Underneath are the everlasting arms. Now that's an anthropomorphism. God doesn't have arms. God is the Spirit. But this is the anthropomorphic testimony. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Two, the biblical definition of temporal security is found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. The biblical definition of temporal security is found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, logistical grace support, you may have an abundance for every divine good work production." Now, 2 Corinthians 9:8, the context for that verse is grace giving. And if you have the right mental attitude, then God will provide for you so that you can give. There's a lot of people, when I first came here, I just told people, if you don't understand grace giving, you're not here to give. Hang on to your billfold, hang on to your purse. Do not give anything when the bag goes by. Save it. Gary Brown will take everything there anyway. You don't know the background of that. You have to talk to Gary about it. We couldn't find the offering bag. Gary had it. There wasn't anything in it by the time we got it. There's a lot of Christians that haven't got a clue what grace giving is. And I know that because we've had some people and they come up and they said, you didn't mention tithing. I said, no, I know. You know what? I'm paying enough taxes as it is, and that's what tithing was. It was taxing. I don't want to be taxed anymore. I said, everybody had to tithe in the Old Testament. Believers and unbelievers, they all had to tithe because it was taxation. It wasn't giving, it was taxation. The whole nation, believer and unbeliever, tithe. Now, we're not going to tax you anymore. And then they always want to know, here's the legalist. Do I tithe before taxes or after taxes? You don't tithe at all. Unless you win $1 million, then come here and tithe. Just kidding. Some of you, oh. So the context for this verse is grace giving. And if you have the right mental attitude, then God will provide for you to give. In fact, we are really God's stewards with the money that He entrusts to us. Whatever you have by way of money and all that, God entrusted that to you. It isn't who and what you are, it's who and what God is. So we are all really God's stewards with the money that He entrusts to us. Note that this sufficiency is not qualified by occurring during prosperous time. You have a sufficiency in all situations, in all circumstances, including maximum historical disaster or economic disaster. There is no historical situation or circumstance to which this does not apply. That's how great God is. 3. David gives the testimony of old age to temporal security in Psalm 37, verse 25. David gives the testimony of old age to temporal security. Psalm 37, 25, which says, I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, temporal security, nor their children begging bread. Never! Never! That's temporal security. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. 4. The testimony of the shepherd is found in Psalm 23. Turn over to Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. It was several years now. In fact, it was about the time I was doing the memorial service for my father. And right about that time, there was a famous actor and getting awards. And somebody out in the audience raises his hand and he says, yes. He says, would you recite the 23rd Psalm? That was an unusual request. And he recited the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when he finished, it doesn't take that long, it's only 6 verses. Then he said, would the person that asked that question come up here? And he went on up on stage and he said, now would you recite the 23rd Psalm? And he took the mic and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, and went through it. When he finished, the actor took the mic and he said, I know the 23rd Psalm, but this man knows the shepherd. And there are people that can recite the 23rd Psalm, but that doesn't mean they know the shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is the one shepherding me, and therefore I cannot lack for anything. He causes me to lie down in green pastures, logistical grace. He leads me to waters of refreshment, logistical grace. He restores my soul. Rebound. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, dying grace, I cannot fear evil because you are with me. This is David as a winner believer. Occupy with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at home in his heart. Because you are with me. Your rod, divine discipline, and your staff, divine deliverance, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Logistical grace. You have anointed my head with oil. Promotion. My cup is overflowing, greater grace blessing. Only goodness and grace will pursue me all the days of my life. Both logistical grace blessing and greater grace blessing to the winner believer. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is impossible for any believer, having God's imputed righteousness and the grace pipeline, to lack for anything. Because the justice of God sends down that grace pipeline, life support and blessing to all believers, winners and losers alike. That is temporal security. Temporal security depends on who and what God is, not who and what we are. You do not fear anything under dying grace because the Lord Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart as a winner believer, occupation with Christ. The rod was used to spank the sheep for discipline. The staff was used to rescue the sheep from danger. Both discipline and deliverance are a comfort to the believer who knows the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his word. As long as you live, logistical grace and greater grace will pursue you. If you're a winner believer, you'll be pursued with greater grace blessing. 5. The testimony of the Apostle Paul is found in Philippians 4:19. The testimony of the Apostle Paul is found in Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs, logistical grace support, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And God will never run out of riches to support you. Six, the testimony from our Lord is addressed to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. The testimony from our Lord is addressed to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Then he, the Lord Jesus Christ, assured me, my grace, logistical grace, has been and still is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness, and therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. Seven, the testimony of the prophet Jeremiah is found in Lamentations 3, verses 20 to 25, which was written as the fifth cycle of national discipline was being administered to the southern kingdom, Judah. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans came in, and God brought them in to administer the fifth cycle of discipline. And they destroyed the nation. That's where we are right now. We are right at that point in this nation's history, right now. And don't tell me, well, be a different... We elect this one and not that one. Bull pucky. P-U-C-K-Y. There's a good word for Wordle. Pucky, see? Here we have the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline. Judah was the client nation of God. They had turned away from God and the Word of God. That's where we are. We've turned away from God and the Word of God. We're impressed and involved in everything except God and the Word of God. Doesn't mean anything to us. The plan of God, the will of God, the purpose of God doesn't mean anything. It's what we want to do, our plan, our purposes. So here was the testimony of Jeremiah. And he sat up on a hill. And Nebuchadnezzar was warned, don't do anything with Jeremiah, leave him alone. Destroyed Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, slaughtered most of the people, the old men, the women, the children. And the survivors went on a death march to Babylon. As Jeremiah witnesses that, he wrote Lamentations. Now, one of my favorite hymns is Great is Thy Faithfulness. We sing it here. And when we sing it, I want you to think about Jeremiah witnessing the fifth cycle of discipline administered to Judah, the client nation of God. And what is Jeremiah? What is going on in his soul? And what did he teach those people? He taught them this. And on that death march to Babylon, every day, great is, when they woke up the next morning and they were still alive, great is thy faithfulness. Temporal security, logistical grace, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's what those survivors on that march to Babylon, every morning when they woke up, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness. Temporal security. So turn over to Jeremiah 3, verse 20. Certainly my soul remembers and is humbled within me. This is Jeremiah, and this is a demonstration of his grace orientation. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have confidence. I have confidence because the Lord's great mercies never cease. Perpetuation of logistical grace, even to enslaved believers. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I have confidence in him. In times of suffering and adversity, the Lord is good to those who trust in him, to the one who seeks him. What gives Jeremiah confidence in times of watching the fifth cycle of discipline being administered to the nation he loves? Because he knows and applies the doctrine of temporal security to the situation. The integrity of God, his righteousness and justice, is the basis for logistical grace, support, and blessing that keeps you alive in the midst of the devil's world. So, subpoint one. Even as they marched to Babylon, enslaved under the fifth cycle of discipline, the Jews are reminded every morning that they wake up, that God has given temporal security to them. Even as they marched to Babylon, enslaved under the fifth cycle of discipline, the Jews are reminded every morning that they wake up that God has given temporal security to them. Two, since they are still alive, God has a purpose for their lives. Since they are still alive, God has a purpose for their life. Three, the Jews failed God. The Jews failed God so that the nation has fallen. Yet, the faithfulness of God never changes. The Jews failed God so that the nation has fallen, yet the faithfulness of God never changes, for his grace continues to provide for them even in disaster. The grace of God continues to provide for them even in disaster. Four. The Lord becomes very important to many believers in times of disaster. The Lord becomes very important to many believers in times of disaster. However, in times of prosperity, the Lord isn't nearly as important to many believers. Five, casual attitudes toward the Lord disappear when disaster comes. Casual attitudes toward the Lord disappear when disaster comes. Six, logistical grace is the basis for the perpetuation of the believer's life in time, no matter what disasters may come. Temporal security or logistical grace is the basis for the perpetuation of the believer's life in time, no matter what disasters may come. Seven, God sustains the life of every believer on planet Earth. God sustains the life of every believer on planet Earth. In spite of satanic opposition, and we will see that, we'll see that when we get to Job. Job was the greatest believer on the face of the earth. And Satan had a convocation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord asked him, "Where have you been?" He says, "I have been going back and forth on the earth. I'm the ruler of planet Earth." "Ha, ha, ha. Have you considered my servant Job?" "Well, sure, you put a wall of fire around him, you protect him, you bless him out of his tree. No wonder he serves you. But you take away all those things, he'll curse you. He will curse you to your face." All right. You have the right to take all of those blessings away. And under four phases, Satan took them all away. Took them all away. And what did Job conclude? "The Lord gives. He gave these great blessings to me. The Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord." Did he curse the Lord? No. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he lost everything. So Satan wasn't finished. Goes back for another convocation. The Lord says, "Where have you been?" "I've been going back and forth on the earth. You know, I'm the ruler of planet Earth. Have you considered my servant Job? And you have already taken all of the blessings away from him." "Well, yeah, but you, skin for skin, you take away his health, he'll curse you to your face." So the Lord said, "Okay, take away his health." And he took away his health. But the Lord said, "You won't kill him, though. You can take away his health, but you're not going to kill him." And here he is sitting. He's got sores all over his body, pus coming out, takes piece of pottery and scrapes the pus out of the sores, sitting there, and his, the greatest test of all was his wife. She came and looked at him and goes, "Why don't you curse God and die?" "Dear, dear sweetie honey bun, we're supposed to love the Lord when he gives us great things, but aren't we to love the Lord when he takes them away?" And he did not sin. He did not curse God. He did not sin either time. He glorified God to the maximum. Well, we'll be looking at that, but you'll have to come back next week for that. So we have here, God sustains the life of any believer on planet Earth in spite of satanic opposition, in spite of the policy of evil, in spite of opposition from others, and in spite of our own tendencies for self-destruction. We're very good at that. We're experts on our own self-destruction, and yet God keeps us alive in spite of ourselves, in spite of others, and that's temporal security. All right, we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.